Well, God's grace, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about Christian burnout and also boundaries. Do you guys keep boundaries in your lives? What do I mean by keeping boundaries? Well, do you take on absolutely every evil that there is in the world, take it on your heart, bear it on your shoulders, as if to let it weigh you down, and also seek to get involved and correct everything that you see that's wrong around you in the world? How about this question? Do you ever say no to some requests for ministry and yes to others? Do you ever say no? You know, some Christians have a problem with that, and they say yes to everything, and they bear all the world's troubles on their shoulders. Everything that they see wrong in the world weighs heavy, heavy upon them. So today I'd like to talk to you about Christian burnout and whether God wants us to keep boundaries or not. Is that a holy thing to do or not? So let's take a look at boundaries and Christian burnout and what God would teach us about that today by means of His holy word, the scriptures. Now, first of all, what can we say is this, is that God definitely wants us to work. Amen. He has a mission for us, a specific and great mission for each and every one of you. He's got a plan and a purpose. Look at what He says in Matthew 5. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." You look over there at Titus 2, and we read, "Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for Himself a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds." Are you zealous for good deeds? Are you letting your light shine? This is God's specific mission for you. We're also to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there are things you're to carry on your shoulders, according to Galatians chapter 6. And if you don't want to work and you're not doing anything for the Lord, well, Paul has a word for that too. He says, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. All right? He says, for those who are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work, do your work in quietness. Earn your own living. Don't be weary in well-doing. So does God have a specific mission for you and for you and for you to do in this life and to be zealously active to go after it, to seek it? Say amen. Say yes. All right, good. That's all good and right. And in the New Testament, we're certainly to proclaim Christ, that people be saved. Now, does that mean, though, that we should take on absolutely every evil that we see in the world? All the different wrongs that we see here and there, should we feel that it is our duty to correct them all? Should we bear all of these things on our shoulders? And then, as some Christians do, go in every direction. Say yes to every ministry and get involved all around, because after all, it's the right thing to do. Is that what God wants of us? Well, many Christians would say the answer to that question is yes. And you can see they spread themselves in every direction. You know what their favorite verse would probably be? Would be, "I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Right? And so they go to the point of burnout, to the point that they have no energy left. They spent it all in every direction, and they're just utterly exhausted and crushed by it. Now, while their zeal is admirable, I want to ask, is that right? Does God want us to go in absolutely every direction? Should Christ Lutheran do mission to absolutely every country in the world? Should we reach into every ministry that's good, that's out there? Or does God have a specific one for us that we should keep a boundary and just go after that one? Well, let me just tell you this. If you want to take on every evil and every wrong and everything you see in the news, all those things on your heart every day, well, there's sure a lot of evils in the world to bear up under, isn't there? A mountain of them. Let me just go through a few of the cares that you can have. You can have the care for yourself, right? Do you have an emotional problem, a psychological problem, a spiritual problem, maybe a health problem? We've got a lot to do just taking care of ourselves, don't we? We all, none of us are perfect. We're all works in progress, so we have a lot that we're already doing intending to ourselves. Then we're also to tend to our families, husbands, wives, children, grandparents, parents, all those, you name it, and we should help in these things. Sometimes our family members have marital problems, or their grades, there's a problem, or there's a cancer in our family, and there's a lot to bear up in helping our family with those things, right? Then you look at our community, Cape Canaveral, Cocoa Beach, Merritt Island, great people, but there's also a lot of problems. There's drug addictions, there's alcohol, there's, you know, failing marriages, there's abused or forgotten children. There's a lot going on in our own community. And to take all those onto our heart and weigh those, have them weigh heavily on us, that's a heavy load. And then how about the news? Right? The news? MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Fox. You know, some people, some Christians wake up every day and look at the news. And then at lunch, look at the news. And then at dinner, look at the news. And then at 11 o'clock, look at the news. And you know what that is? Mountains of trouble. I looked at the news this morning. And you know what I looked? And I wanted to check it out. There wasn't one good story about anything. It was all trouble following hard upon trouble like waves upon the sea, upon the beach. I look and I see immorality, greed, pride, strife, poverty, corruption in government, the Mueller probe, Trump and North Korea and China, Russia, Syria, school shootings, same-sex marriages, abortions, persecution of Christians, sexual immorality that's found even in mainline Christian churches. And you're like, oh, do you ever take all these things onto your heart like a lot of Christians do? You're under a mountain of cares. And I want to ask you, does God want you to be taking all those onto your heart? Or should we be setting boundaries and saying no to some of these things? Also remembering that the news, their purpose is to ultimately make money. And how do they do it? They want to stir you up by making you ticked off and unnerved, because that's going to keep you tuning in tomorrow to find the rest of the story. Because bad news is infectious, right? I mean, they're not going to give you good news. You might go away. And so they scour the world daily to find everything that's wrong with it. Bring it right into your home. And then we eat it and we digest it. And it's like piling rocks on our head or drinking poison. And then you wonder, why am I so depressed? Well, what have you been feeding yourself, right? Does God want us to take on all of these things? Or should we set boundaries and say, no, that is, I'm going to leave alone. Is there a limit to what we're to bear on our shoulders? Understand? So what's the result of taking all of these on ourselves at once? Of going in every direction that we might feel there's a right thing to be done? Well, pretty soon you're crushed. Pretty soon you're weighed down. You're burnt out. You're overcome by all the evil in the world. And pretty soon it's pretty hard to see all the good that God's doing in the world. Do you think God's doing a lot of good in the world, you can see? Psalm 33 verse 5 says, "The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord." But sometimes we're so weighed down by all the burdens and all the directions that we're going that we can't even lift up our eyes to look and see all the good that God is doing. And the Bible says the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. He is working every day and we can enjoy it. But sometimes, like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, we say, oh, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. So we can be exhausted by all the evil, by all the effort that we expend to try to correct everything. And we feel guilty. We feel guilty if we're not involved with every good ministry that every other Christian's doing. Oh my goodness, they're doing it. I should do it too. What a bad person I am that I haven't done everything. Well, is that really Christian? Is that really true? Are we under a false conception there? Well, let me ask this. How much does God want you and me to take on? How many directions does he want us to go in? Does he want us to establish boundaries in our life? What do you think? One direction or many, many directions? How many of the world's problems are you to bear and engage? Or are there limits? Let's take a look at whether Christians should have boundaries. What do you think? Yes or no? Should a Christian have boundaries? Say yes. I see, you haven't learned to say no yet. But did Jesus have boundaries? That's a good question to ask. Did Jesus actually maintain and keep boundaries? Was he going in every direction, pulled everywhere by everybody, or did he keep a very, very narrow and specific focus? Let's see what our Lord did. First of all, let's look at his mission. Jesus' mission, what was it? John 18. He says, it says in verse 37, John 18:37, Jesus says to Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." So what was Jesus' mission? To preach the truth. And secondly, Matthew 28, Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So twofold mission, right? Jesus came from heaven to earth to preach the truth and then to give his life as a ransom for all, to die and to be raised for us. That's a very specific mission. Now, how narrowly focused was he? Do you think, and let's take a look at this, very important, did Jesus let people lead him in other directions off of his mission? To be someone more than he came to be, to do more things than he came to do. Did Jesus ever say no to people? Well, all right, here we go. Luke chapter 12. Let's take a look at what happened here. So one of the multitude, one of the great crowd, came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider of you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness." And he goes on to preach. So what did this guy try to do? Did he try to put Jesus in the role of an arbiter and a judge? Yeah. Yeah, he said, "Jesus, you get into this role." And what did Jesus say? No. Yeah, as Bill says, nope. No, he didn't do it. He says, "That is not my role. I'm not in the legal system. Why are you asking me that question? I refuse to be a judge in that matter. But I am here to preach, and I'll use this as an opportunity to preach to you about greed." So isn't that beautiful? Did Jesus set a boundary? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Here's another one in John 6. The people wanted to do something else with Jesus. Let's see. He feeds the 5,000 in the wilderness. Remember that scene? And then when the people saw the sign which he did, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who's to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So they said, basically, "Jesus, we want you to be our king, as we want you to be king." And what did Jesus say? "No, I'm not going to be king as you want me to be king. I am king in my own right, as I am." And he withdrew. He got out of there. He refused to be what they wanted him to be. And what did they want him to be? They wanted him to get in there, be a worldly king, to correct the worldly government, to kick out the Romans, reestablish the Davidic kingdom, and put Israel back on top. And Jesus said, "No, not going to do that." Now, did Jesus worry himself, by the way, with changing the corrupt worldly governments of his time? As many Christians feel that we all need to correct all worldly governments, did Jesus do that? Well, let's take a look here. He knew that they were corrupt. He knew that they were evil. He knew that they were desperately wicked. Guess what? The first Herod tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, remember? And a later Herod, Jesus says, "You go and tell that fox." He called him a fox. He knew that they were evil, but did he try to correct all the worldly governments of his day? That wasn't his purpose, his mission, his direction. He had a very narrow focus. And when it comes to worldly governments and their corruption, he actually maintained worldly governments. He says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." In other words, pay your taxes. Even to these wicked rulers, do it. God's working through them. So, Jesus, reform the worldly governments. Be our king and change all this stuff. Jesus says, "No, I'm not going to do that. It's not what I'm here for. I have another mission, very specific." Now, did Jesus feel a need to change the church of his day, to change all the corruption that was in it, to restructure the synagogues? Guess what? He knew that they were evil. He constantly preached that they were hypocrites, whitewashed walls, blind guides. And he wanted to free the people from the lies and the hypocrisy of the church leaders by preaching the truth, which was his mission. But did he get in there and spend his life trying to kick Caiaphas out of office? Even as wicked as he was? No, he didn't. He left them in there. And guess what he says to the scribes and Pharisees? Of the scribes and the Pharisees, to the apostles. Jesus says, "Let them alone. They are blind guides." And if they are a blind man leads a blind man, they'll both fall into a pit. In other words, just ignore them. Avoid these people. You know, Christians sometimes feel like we got to engage everything, don't we? Oh, no, something's wrong here. We got to get in there and make this all right. We got to get this right. We got to get that right. We got to get involved in everything. Jesus is like, let them alone. Just ignore them. They're blind guides. Let's go on our mission. Focus on our specific purpose. Go in our direction and leave them. We have a narrower focus. Now, did Jesus feel a need to heal everybody that was sick in Israel to the point of utter exhaustion and having no time with his father? Did he feel guilty that he didn't heal everybody of every sin, of every trouble? Well, let's take a look here. Luke 5. We go over here to Luke 5:15. So much more the report went about concerning him, and great multitudes gathered to hear and to be healed of their infirmities, but he withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. Now, did Jesus heal thousands and thousands and thousands of people? Yes, he did. Did he heal everybody? Did he set a limit? Did he guard time with his father? Guard boundary of spending time alone with God? And did he feel guilty because he didn't heal everybody? Like a lot of Christians feel guilty because there's so many problems in the world, I got to keep going until they're all fixed. And we lose time with the Father. Did Jesus? Jesus set a boundary. He didn't feel guilty that not everybody was healed, but he kept the boundary with his Father. He withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. And guess what his life was like? Joyful, full of great energy. He wasn't just depleted and exhausted and burned out. Did Jesus feel good? Need to go on every mission trip to every people group on earth personally, as many Christians feel the need to do? Oh my goodness, the church over there, they've gone to Guatemala, but shouldn't we go to Guatemala or whatever? Well, maybe if the Lord leads us, but guess what? Jesus didn't feel a need to have to go to everybody. He says, actually, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A very narrow purpose, a very narrow and specific mission. And Jesus, one more. Did Jesus feel a need to answer every question and receive everybody who ever came to him? What do you think? What's the answer to that? You can see the pattern here, right? John 12, we look over here, and we read that coming up to the feast were some Greeks. These came to Philip and said, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip both went to Jesus and told him about it, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And he went on preaching. You know, these guys, oh, we want to see you. We want to talk with you. We want to get an audience with you. And Jesus just goes on preaching. Was he mean for doing that? No, he was narrowly focused. So let's look at it this way. Remember those dandelions, right, Marion? You know, beautiful dandelions. And the certain time of year, they have all those seeds. And you go, and you blow them. And they go to scatter to all the four winds. Was Jesus like that, or was he like an arrow shot from a bow, straight and narrow, from the bow of God? Well, how about you? Should we just be blown about on the winds of the world in every direction, pulled in every way that we're drawn, or that people would draw us? Or should we go like an arrow shot from a bowstring of God on a specific mission that Jesus has for you specifically to do, which you should be zealous to go after? Remember, Jesus said there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a famine over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, says Jesus, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. You tell me, did God have a specific mission for Elijah and Elisha? They were sent to specific people, minister to them, take care of them. But as the others, you're not sent to them. There was a boundary, a specific call. Does God have a specific call for you? Well, we are his workmanship, says Scripture, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, I went to Walmart one day and I prayed, God, show me someone in here I can help. And by the time I get to the avocados and the oranges, I forgot I'd prayed that. But by the time I got to like aisle 9 up the way, a lady said, "Can you please help me, sir, to reach this thing on the top shelf?" And I was like, "Oh, my prayer." And I was like, "Of course." And I went, helped her. And then when I got out to the parking lot, someone else who'd seen me help her said, "That was a very nice thing you did for that old lady in there, helping her get her thing." And I said, "Well, God's done good things for me in Christ. I want to do good things for other people." So I got a double witness. I got double help. Did I help everybody in Walmart? No, but those to whom God sent me. And God sends you specifically. So we should focus specifically on what God wants you, like an arrow to go after, not in 1,000 directions. We got to find out what that is. And what is it? Well, certainly focus on yourself and your walk with God. For Micah 6 says, "He has showed you, O man, what's good. And what's the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Is that a focus, like an arrow that you're after today? To walk with your God, to develop your relationship with Him, to dig your well deep in the wells of God that you may water other people and be watered yourself? You know, Jesus and God set boundaries for you with this. He even says, 6 days do all your work. The seventh day, take a rest. Spend that day with me. There's a boundary in Scripture, the Sabbath. And Jesus says, "Come away with me to a lonely place and rest a while by yourselves," because they had no leisure even to eat at that time. So Jesus set a boundary. He said, "Come away with me. Spend time with me in personal prayer and Scripture and just time walking with me." Do you do that? Keep that boundary in your life. It's good. And also, let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Don't worry about other days. Keep the boundary for your troubles. Don't worry about everything. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry just about today. That's a boundary. Watch over your family. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Be subject to them as to the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Women, rule your households. Watch over your homes, 1 Timothy 5, etc. So we should watch over our own families. But you know what a lot of Christians do? Busybodies. Get into everybody else's business. Oh, there's a problem in this marriage over here. I'm going to stick my nose in. Or these people aren't taking care of their children properly. I'm going to start disciplining their children for them. That's outside your jurisdiction. Unless, you know, the child's abused or abandoned. Then you need to jump in there morally to help out. But otherwise, mind your own business. Tend your own family first. And then if they ask you for help, we'll help. But guess what? Here, Proverbs 26 says, "He who meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." What happens if you take a passing dog by the ears? It might turn around and bite you. You ever get bitten by putting your nose into somebody else's business? You didn't belong there? Well, mind your own business. You got enough on your plate already. How about your church? Should we worry about what every other church is doing? Or keep to our own bounds, to this congregation, what God calls us to do? Well, Peter tells pastors, "Tend the flock of God that is your charge." Should I be worrying about pastoring other churches in this area or just this church? This is my jurisdiction. This is where I'm to focus. You know, if another church around is doing something great, we might want to do it, or maybe not. That's okay. If another church has problems going on, am I going to put my nose in there? What do you think? No way, because it's not my jurisdiction. I can pray for them. That's great. Help out if they ask, but I'm not going to stick my nose in where it's not my business. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, and Peter's walking along the beach, remember, with Jesus? And he turns and Jesus is telling Peter about his mission, and then turns and he sees John the apostle walking up the beach after them. And Peter says, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus says, "If he remains till I come, what's that to you? Tend my sheep." In other words, why are you worried about his mission, Peter? What's that to you? You focus on what I've called you to do, tend my sheep. You know, of all people, the apostles ought to be into each other's business, right? But Jesus says, "Peter, you're not even to worry about what John's doing. You just worry about your job. Get to that." And so, mind your business. You got a lot to do on the business God's given you to do. And your country. Should we worry about that? Oh my goodness, I've met people in our congregation, myself included, when I look in the mirror, who get upset at all the evil that we see in the news all the time. Do you get upset and weighed down, heavy burdened by such things? Do you get in trouble, weighed down by that? Well, let me ask you a question. Should you worry about North Korea? Well, if you become Secretary of State, which might happen because there's a pretty big turnover in Trump's administration with the Secretary of State, maybe you'll be Secretary of State, then worry about North Korea. Until then, you leave it to the people to whom God has given it to worry about North Korea or Russia or Syria. Don't worry about those things. Leave them outside your bounds as things are in God's hand. Pray about them, fine, but don't worry about it. Don't call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, says God, Isaiah 8. And don't fear what they fear. Don't be in dread, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And how should we minister out there in the world? One by one, you doing your job. Getting toward the end, listen up. In a Navy ship, you have the captain, the first officer, the navigator, the bosun, the engineer, the cook, and the deckhand, right? And others. Everything runs smooth if everybody does their specific job. But if the captain says, I'm going to go handle the dock lines, and the bosun wants to be the engineer, and the engineer wants to be the cook, and the swabby wants to go take command of the bridge, what happens? It's a disaster. It's a huge mess. But if each one just keeps their mind on their specific duty and does their specific job, it's all marvelous. And it's the same in God's church. God says, I've got great things for you to do, big things for you to do. Be zealous for them, but be specific. Let my spirit lead you in the things that you're to go after, just like Richard and Marie go after horse ministry and other things. Beautiful therapy and care for other people. You have Art. He goes after the website and YouTube and evangelism. Sammy does the Sip and Stitch ministry. Dennis reads books for the blind. And each of you have your specific things that God has called you to do. And like on a great ship, if each person does their job specifically, it's all marvelous. But if everybody gets into everybody else's business, it's a disaster. So, let God's Spirit lead. Find where He's driving you. Pray about it. God, lead me. You know, just like the Good Samaritan. He didn't minister to everybody, but to the person that God led him to on that road from Jericho, from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Don't be like 1,000 seeds blown out into the wind, but an arrow shot from God's bow on a specific mission. So, have you learned? Yes or no? Have you learned how to say no in the sermon? Yes. No. Well, okay. There are times to say yes, and there are times to say no. But we are thankful that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. Very narrow. He came, he saw, he conquered. He preached, he died, he rose to give us eternal life and salvation in his name. And when we've done our job at the end, we're going to be able to say, I fought that good fight and finished the race and kept the faith. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.